All right, welcome again to our series on the spiritual disciplines. Now, tonight I'll be talking about the spiritual discipline of giving. Next week, we're going to finish off the series with this. We have two more. After this, we'll do prayer and then fasting. And then we're going to be done. Then, after that, after 2 weeks go by, we're going to meet one more time. I'm going to challenge you between now and then, it's just about a little bit over a month, or about around a month, to really partake in the spiritual disciplines. Use that time to get some experience, and then that last time we meet up, there'll be a time of debriefing and discussions, if any other questions arise from the spiritual disciplines. But I pray that you take this opportunity to use those disciplines and let us come together and be able to discuss them. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if after talking about the spiritual discipline of service last week, how many of you were met with opportunities of service that you noticed after hearing about it last week? Yeah, I did too. I was at work, and this lady I work with, she comes up to me and she says, "Hey Matt, you're good with computers, right?" And I was like, "Oh no, I know where this is going." And I was like, "I'm okay." And she's like, "Well, I'm having this problem with my printer and all this stuff. Would you come over and take a look at it?" The first thought that went through my mind is, do you have any idea what my schedule's like? You know, I get up several hours before I have to go to work so I can spend this time studying and writing and reading and all this stuff. And then I go work for 8 hours, come back, still got to maintain this impressive physique, so I got to work out. And I'm like, when exactly did you want me to fit it in there? You know, this is all the things that go through my mind in a fraction of a second. And then all of a sudden that other little voice jumped in and said, "You stinking hypocrite. You have an opportunity to serve somebody here. You better not mess up on it." So I was like, "Absolutely, I would love to come over and help you with your problem." But it's just funny how, just after talking about it, how even just being so passionate about servitude and all these things, that almost immediately after presented with an opportunity to serve, I almost missed it. So just remember, just keep looking for those opportunities. Today when we talk about giving, same thing. I'm going to challenge you guys to look for those opportunities and to take them when you see them. Now, there is a difference between giving and stewardship. Giving is the spiritual discipline we're going to talk about today. Stewardship is something completely different. Stewardship is the careful and thoughtful handling of one's financial affairs in a worthy manner that is pleasing to God. Stewardship is the careful and thoughtful handling of one's financial affairs in a worthy manner that is pleasing to God. You know, for example, I know Christians who, very godly people, who the only reason they don't think there's really anything morally wrong with, having like an alcoholic drink every once in a while, but they don't just because they don't think that would be a good steward if they spent their money on alcohol. It's like something I don't need. I don't think it'd be a very good steward of my money spending it on alcohol. That's an example of a great steward right there. Making sure you use your finances in a way that is worthy to God. But you know, it's kind of funny because it is really easy to criticize the spending habits or the stewardship of others. Like for example, this one time I was telling this friend of mine how eventually I wanted to buy this just really awesome sword, and I know that sounds stupid at first, but you know, I have the thing behind it. You know, I want to get like a family crest on it and hopefully become family heirloom passed down for generations. And hey, talks about the sword in the Bible a lot, okay, so it's not like I'm just throwing this out there, but I've always wanted just a really, I mean, I have like cheesy training katanas, but I want like a legit sweet, sweet sword one day. And I told this to my friend, and she just got irate at me. And she goes, how dare you spend God's money in this way or think about it? And I was feeling particularly generous that moment because I kept my mouth shut. Because a couple minutes ago, she was telling me about how she is addicted to buying undergarments from Victoria's Secret. And she's like, I love it. I just love going there. And she's not, I mean, she wasn't a married gal. She's married now, but she wasn't married at the time. I was like, why are you criticizing me for buying a cool sword that everyone can see, and my family heirloom, and you're spending money on undies that nobody's going to see? So right there, it's pretty easy. Right there as examples, we think that the things that we own are the important things, or the things that we desire are the important things, and we look at other people, how dare you spend God's money? I mean, it's so easy to be godly like that, you know. Look at somebody's, oh, I could save someone. Oh, look, how dare you spend God's money on that shoe collection? You know, I even know guys that have a serious amounts of shoe collections, own like 20, 30 pairs, and I could go on this tirade, and then they're like, how many DVDs do you own, Matt? That's none of your business. So it's really easy to criticize the spending habits and the stewardship of others. But the most important thing is being a good steward with our money. Now, that is a good topic. Stewardship is a good topic. It might be a spiritual discipline. Some of my sources refer to stewardship as a spiritual discipline. I don't necessarily think it is. I think that the real discipline is giving. And there is, like I said, a difference. While stewardship is important and maybe spiritual discipline in itself, giving is without a doubt a very important spiritual discipline. Now, it is possible for one to be good at giving and bad at stewardship. I know it doesn't seem like it, but it is. And the reason why I know it's possible is because I totally fit in that category. I'm really good at giving, and I'm a horrible steward of my finances. Like, for example, I don't remember what it was now. I saw like somebody needed something, and so I went out and got them it. But in doing so, I overdrew my checking account. So I was being a good giver there. I was like, hey, they need this. I'll give to them. I wasn't being a very good steward of my finances because in doing that, I overdrew my checking account. So they are different, and it's possible to be good at stewardship and bad at giving. You know, you can be really good at organizing your finances perfectly so you know what you're spending and what you're spending it on, but yet not give that money away to anybody. You know, likewise, it's kind of funny. Well, actually, let me give you the definition real quick of this spiritual discipline. The spiritual discipline of giving is the intentional use of finances or goods for the purpose of encouraging or meeting the needs of people. The intentional use of finances or goods for the purpose of encouraging or meeting the needs of people. And I like it in my version of the King James Version of the Bible in Matthew chapter 6 when it talks about what I called last week the unrecognized service. It refers to these as charitable deeds. I like that because, you know, a charitable deed can be giving of finances or it could be the giving of goods. That's why I refer to it like that. The intentional use of finances or goods for the purposes of encouraging or meeting the needs of people. You know, and again, the intentional part is what, again, is so important. You see, like, these celebrities, they form their foundation. You know, don't get me wrong, I think foundations are good. If you're going to start a foundation, please don't call it by your name. You know, all these celebrities, I mean, there's no doubt who's in charge of the Will Smith Foundation, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, oh, okay. You know, again, unrecognized service. But even these, I would say even these foundations, they're not participating in the spiritual gift of giving because it is not intentional. It's not this idea where you're seeking to help people and you say, okay, there is a need, I'm going to help them. all you're doing is saying, okay, here's the institution. I'm going to put this group together. You guys go and just kind of give people money or do whatever. Right? That's not participating in the spiritual discipline. The spiritual discipline is very thoughtful, it's very careful, and it's very intentional. It's something that you do. You don't pay people to pay people money. That's not participating in a spiritual gift. I said before that it's for the purposes of encouraging or meeting the needs of people. Example of giving for encouraging. This is probably what I do most. I give to encourage people, to make them happy, just kind of to brighten their day. For example, I was working, I was playing basketball with some friends of mine. This one friend of ours, he wasn't as good as us, and he was kind of bummed later, and he wanted to get better. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if you really want to get better, you need to get yourself a ball. So I went, like, the next day, I went down to the store, I bought him a nice basketball, and I always, whenever I get a new ball, I always write my initials in between the air pump hole. I just put, you know, MC like that. So I always seem to pick mine out real easily. And then I went and took a marker and I put his initials there. And then I went and I just said, you know, every time I get a new ball, I always put my initials right in the spot. Check out this new ball. And, you know, I gave it to him. And he was like, those aren't your initials. Those are my initials. And I was like, yeah, it's your ball. So you can practice and you can start playing with us. And so he was floored. He was totally excited. I love doing stuff like that, especially when it's unexpected. I love it when people are good to other people. You know, probably my favorite commercials on television were those insurance commercials where it shows all those people kind of helping each other, where one person sees someone else helping each other, and they're like, hey, that's not a bad idea, and they go on and help each other. I love those commercials. I love seeing people help each other. The other thing is meeting the needs of people. You know, that's something just as specific, but it is encouraging, but that would be something like someone can't afford their house payment, and you step up and you take care of that for them. Now, don't get me wrong, that's pretty encouraging, but that's also meeting a need. You know, when you encourage someone, it's they could probably live without the thing that you give them. With meeting the need, it's one of those things where if I don't get this taken care of, I'm in trouble. That's what I mean by those encouraging and meeting the needs, or as Scripture says, just charitable deeds. All right, a couple of notes before we continue. I want to talk about first, in my experience, people really don't understand giving. I am met with. It's funny. I'll just put it like this. You know, I found in the past if I gave something to a guy, the guy would feel like he owes me something in return. If I gave something to a girl, the girl would feel like that I liked her. And I'm just like, can't you guys just learn to accept that I want to give you a gift and I don't want anything in return? I'm not trying to earn your affections. I'm not trying to get you to give me something in return. I just am trying to do this. And both of these responses by these guys and girls, they're both misguided. You know, giving is a reflection of grace. Giving is misunderstood because grace is likewise misunderstood. I used to be uncomfortable accepting gifts from people outside of my family. You know, I don't have any problem whatsoever taking stuff from my brother, or my mom, my dad. Like, they have to give me stuff, and I looked at it like that. But, you know, someone else I didn't know or just met, and they were like, hey, let me take you out to lunch. I was like, yeah, right, you're not taking me out to lunch. I don't even know you. I couldn't stand it at all. However, you know, it wasn't just gifts, too. It was just people trying to help me. People say, hey, you're having trouble with this, you know, let me give you a hand. Like, no, I'm good. I'll figure it out. That's probably also me being a little ornery as part of that. But, you know, once Christ saved me, I obviously came to understand grace. And as I came to understand grace better, I became, therefore, more able to accept gifts and help. So I think the reason why people don't understand experiences, they don't understand grace. And in that, they always think there's these ulterior motives. Like, for example, this friend of mine in college, we were hanging out one day, and we started talking about this movie, and he was just talking about how he loved this one part. And so I just went out to the store, and I bought it for him, gave it to him. I was like, hey, I got this for you. And it took me literally about 10 minutes to convince him that I didn't break something of his, that I didn't borrow something of his without asking. And it seriously took me a long time. And once I finally convinced him, and he was pretty positive that, you know, I didn't steal anything of his or anything like that, he looked at me and said, nobody's ever given me anything. Oh, jeez.
And we were in pretty dire straits, and so they gave us a bunch of food and stuff. And I said, I'll have to do something to pay you back, and, you know, to give you back in return. And she says, good. Don't you give graciously when somebody needs something? She says, then you have to learn to accept graciously.
And you really do. Even now, when I'm given certain things that I don't want or don't expect, I'm thinking, if I deny this from this person, I'm denying this person their ability to be a faithful, spiritual, disciplined man or woman. And so sometimes somebody offers me something, I'll just kind of shrug and be like, thank you very, very much. but yeah, you know, like another time, I remember I was working in California. When I was first semester at school, I was working while going to school. It was the worst idea ever for a master's degree. I remember this one time I was giving this guy a ride home, and I had this worship CD on, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I love this music and stuff like that." I was like, "Hey, dude, why don't you take it?" And he was, "No." And you know, again, like 10 minutes, he's like, "No, I can't do it." And finally, after it got, we kind of changed the conversation, but he knew during that time that, you know, I literally, one, I wanted him to have it, and two, I wasn't expecting anything from it in return. And so right before he got out of the car, he was like, "Man, you know, is it cool if I have that CD?" "Yeah, it's cool. I offered it to you. Just take it." You know, another thing I like to do, too, is I feel like it is my spiritual gift to buy people coffee. That's one of the things I love to do. Guys I work with know that if I'm working with them, if I get to work in the electronics department, they know that I will bring them coffee and they don't have to ever pay me. And they're still, like, some of the guys are still not comfortable with it. They still, every time, they're like, "Well, how much do I owe you?" Like, dude, don't worry about it. Just enjoy your day. I remember one time I was driving, I wasn't even working this day. I was driving around Silverdale, and it was just pouring down rain. And I was thinking, man, the guys who are working at Costco outside in carts, they're soaked. It was during winter. It's cold. I was like, I drove by. "Guys, I'm going to go get you guys some coffee. Tell me what you want." And so I went and got him stuff and came back, and the guy's like, "All right, here's the money." And I was like, "No, I just wanted to get you this. I don't want anything in return." He's like, "No, I don't really like that. Here, just take the money." I'm like, "No, dude, I'm not going to take any money from you." And he's like, "All right, but I'm going to buy you coffee next week." It's like, "No, dude, just accept the gift and be happy with it." So then, after a while, this guy just kept on being like, "When am I going to get you that coffee?" And I was like, "I don't want it." Finally, he ended up just going out, not even knowing what I wanted, and buying me a coffee. Because he just didn't want to feel like he owed me anymore. It wasn't even coffee that I liked, but he went out and got it. Because he's just like, "Here, we're even." Like, wow. You know, it's all going back to us not having an understanding of grace. Giving is an act of grace. You know, God gave his Son for humanity. And that was an act of grace. Not because we deserved it. Not because we're awesome or anything else like this. God's like, "I'm showing my grace. I'm giving you my Son." Giving is an act of grace. If you cannot accept gifts from people, I would really examine your heart to make sure that you have true fellowship with the Lord. Because if you can't accept gifts from people, it's highly likely that you can't accept grace from God either. very important. Grace and giving are very connected. Now, the second thing that I wanted to note before we go on is, as Americans, our sense of being poor and rich is very skewed. And because of this, our ideas of giving are likewise skewed. You know, I was just amazed during the presidential debates, and Obama was talking about how people can't afford basic health care and all these things. And my thought that kept on going through my mind was, for the people that say they can't afford health care, how many of these people have cable television? How many of them have cable internet? How many of them have a Blu-ray disc player, or multiple televisions, or multiple cars, or an Xbox? Now, don't get me wrong, I love my Xbox. You know, after going studying for 4 hours in the morning and getting yelled at for 8 hours a day at work, when I come home, it's really nice to kill some zombies on my Xbox. But, you know, that being said, it's not a necessity. And so I'm watching this and going through and it's like, people cannot afford health care. They can't afford these things. I was like, okay, yeah, they can't afford the health care because they already got everything that they wanted. They can't afford health care because they got 2-3 cars and all these things and all these stuff they don't need. They went on that vacation that they felt like they had to go to because they haven't gone on one in 7 months. And yeah, after all that, I can't afford health care. It's just ridiculous. Our country was founded on the guise that the people would be responsible. And we have so shifted away from that. Instead of being responsible and taking care of our family, we're now turning to the government with our hands out and saying, "Take care of me." It's ridiculous. I don't want to get off too off subject, but my point is, our idea of wealth and poverty is so messed up. I'll tell you this, and I've said stuff like this before, but you know, if you are warm and you sleep covered, if you eat 3 times a day, you're wealthy. It's just bottom line. If you're healthy on top of that, you're abundantly rich. You know, I'll tell you one of the things the Lord's really been convicting me on too is, you know, do we really need all the things that we think we do? I mean, do I really need another hooded sweatshirt? Don't get me wrong, I love hooded sweatshirts. That's like one of my like signature things. I love the hoodies. Even like on my back of my book cover, I'm wearing a hoodie. I like them, but I own like 10 of them. Do I really need 10 hoodies? You know, Jesus said, if you have 2 coats, give one to the poor. My back of my mind is Jesus said 2 coats. I got more than 2 coats. He didn't say anything about 10, so I'm thinking I'm okay. I'll be shopping and I'll see this sweet hoodie. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's another one for the collection. And then I saw him think, do I really need another stupid hooded sweatshirt? And I really challenge you guys, examine yourself in life. Ask yourself, do you really need the things that you think that you do? Look at how, like, I'm not trying to be, you know, saying that we're all, like, financially irresponsible. But, you know, I love watching the History Channel and Discovery Channel and all those ones. And you look at these people who, they work all day doing stuff that we wouldn't do for $1 million and get paid about $2 a day. And they have their basic needs met on that amount of money. And really, do we need the things that we think we do? And like I said, God has really been convicting me on this. All right, let's talk about now for a little bit. We'll talk about the importance of giving as a spiritual discipline, and then we're going to talk about some practical tips for giving, and then we'll close it out there. So one, the importance of giving. Number one, it reminds us that everything is God's. The importance of giving, number one, it reminds us that every single thing is God's. We already talked about this verse before, but Paul talking to the Corinthian church. What do you have that you did not receive? If you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not? Oh. Again, you might be a brilliant, brilliant guy, and you use that brilliance to get a great education, use that great education to get a fantastic job. And you might think, you know what, I did all this stuff, all this money is mine. It's like, all right, well, who gave you the ability to be brilliant? Who gave you the ability to go to this great school? Who gave you this job? All those things are blessings from the Lord. Every single thing that you have is the Lord's. Everything that you have been given has been given to you. Don't boast as if it's not been given to you. Don't boast as if you've got these things of your own accord, because you haven't. Every single thing that you own is the Lord's and was given to you by Him. Number two, giving reminds us that this is not our home. Giving reminds us this is not our home. You know, one thing we talked about, solitude, that was one of our main points for the spiritual discipline of solitude. It puts us in a position where we remind us what real reality is. But the same thing with this, you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He's like, but lay up for yourself treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. Because he says, thieves can't break in and steal. Moths can't destroy the treasures in heaven, and that stuff's eternal. If you are living and spending money and giving like this is your home, your priorities are awfully skewed. Our home is in heaven. If you have fellowship with the Lord, our home is not of this plane of existence. You know, I remember this one time, I was talking with some Christian brothers. They were talking about Job. And they were going through the story of Job. Yes, once again, I'm talking about Job. I like the book, okay? Just deal with it. They're talking about how after Job had gone through all this stuff, that he had been given twice what he had before. And yet, but everything he was given twice of except for the number of his children. And they were going through and they're all confused about, well, that's weird that God wouldn't give him twice the amount of children that he had before, but give him twice everything else. And like, I was like, you guys got to be kidding me. You're saying this? Where do you think his children are that died before? Have they vanished into oblivion? No, they're in fellowship with God in heaven. He was given double the amount of children before because the children that died before are still alive in heaven. He will still be reunited with them in heaven. It's really easy to look at Job and think that and just focus on this on the financial aspect of what he was given. But in reality, God made a great point there. These children that you had before, they're in fellowship with me in heaven right now. That's another thing too, a thing we're very misguided about giving. We think that if you give, you're going to get in return. That's not always the case. I guarantee you it's not always the case. Now, sometimes it does happen. You know, you hear heretical preachers on television say, you give me $100 and you'll get $1,000 in return. It's just not going to happen. We're commanded to give for a lot of reasons, and we're going over those now, and we'll see that none of the reasons that we're commanded to give is because we're going to get in return. Just not the case. Number three, giving reminds us to be thoughtful, submissive servants. Giving reminds us to be thoughtful, submissive servants. Now remember, the definition that we have given of spiritual disciplines is they put us in a position to be transformed by Christ. Now, in giving, you have to really stop and you have to think, be in a meditative, prayerful state, and listen to that still, small voice to see what are the things that God would want you to give to. And in that, in being submissive in that state, you're being put in a position where you're transformed by Christ. So that's how giving meets that definition. It reminds us to be thoughtful, submissive servants. The thing is, too, is how often do we go against that voice inside of us? How often, you know what? You guys, Satan is never, ever going to tempt you to give to somebody. Satan's not going to tempt you to sell all your stuff and to seek after God. But we almost treat that, like that voice, when God's prompting us to do something, we almost treat it as if it was a temptation. Satan's not going to tempt you to do something good. I remember hearing this one story. It was a secondhand story. But the guy who told the story agreed with the first guy. But this guy was saying that he was praying for a while for a car. Never got the car. Finally he prayed, you know, God, just please, just give me a car. So he finally got it. As soon as he got this car, he prayed, you know, God, this is your car. Whatever you want with it, take it. You know, if you want somebody else to have it, just take it. The next day, some guy he hardly knew came up to him and says, "Hey, God told me that you're supposed to give me your car." And so what did the guy do? He said, "No, I'm not giving you the car." And his justification was, if I gave him my car, I would not be a good steward of what God has given me. I was like, are you kidding me? The guy that told me the story agrees with me. I was like, are you kidding me? This guy submitted himself to the Lord and said, hey, this is yours. If you want to take it, take it. When the opportunity came up where a guy who had no knowledge of that vow he made with God said, hey, God told me to give me your car. And he takes that as, well, if I gave it to you, I wouldn't be a good steward. I was like, are you kidding me? You got to be faithful, submissive stewards, and you need to act when God prompts you. Now, you might not always receive something in return physically when you give, but I'll tell you what, you will receive at least two things. One, you will receive treasures in heaven, and two, you will receive a peace that surpasses all understanding. God won't ask you to give if He's still not going to provide for you in return. You know, I remember one time Doc was talking about this guy. I don't even remember the story. It was a guy in Seattle that he had a wife and family, and he sold everything and was like living on the streets.
Oh,
what was that deal?
No, he's a guy that lives in this area, but some people know the guy. He had a whole bunch of kids, and he had a good job at a company, and he was making good bucks for the 80s, but decided to call him to preach, so he built a cross, quit his job, and preached on the streets in Seattle for his whole family on welfare. And you know, he said, the Lord will provide. And wasn't the Lord provide, it was the United States taxpayers.
And see, this is the thing here, you guys. Just like, you know, God is never going to call you to murder somebody. You know, God's never going to call you to do something that's contradictory to His will. Likewise, if you are a husband and you have a family, God called you already to take care of them. He's put them in your care so that you can provide food for them. Now, you might be commanded to preach the gospel on top of that. Yeah, that's your ministry, but don't forget, your ministry too is taking care of your family. You know, and I'll tell you, like I said before, how God has been convicted me about the things that I have. And I'll tell you, a couple months ago, I started praying, and I said, Lord, everything that you have in mind, you tell me, drop a hat, I would be happy to sell all I own and go wherever you want and do whatever you want. I like my Jeep. It's pretty sweet. I paid it off pretty quickly, so I don't have any payments on it or anything. But I said, Lord, you know what? I'll sell that thing in a heartbeat. If you want me to, if you need this money somewhere else, or you need me to go somewhere, I would drop it in a heartbeat. You know, that's the thing. Is like I have a luxury right now. Like I'm not financially responsible for anyone but myself. You know, it might be a time down the road where I don't have that luxury, but you know, right now I do, and I would not cease to pray that prayer. Lord, just tell me, I will literally sell everything that I own to seek after you. Now, it's easy for me to say that too, because I don't own a house, and I've been renting for a while. But you know, I got a lot of electronics. I got a car, but nonetheless, I would be happy to sell everything that I own and seek the Lord. We need to all have that mindset. I didn't really want to talk about this because I think this has been talked about a lot, but it just fits in so well as so many people that talk about or question the importance of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus. And you know, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Lord, how do I have eternal life? And Jesus looks at him and says, have you kept the commandments? He said, yes. Ever since I was a little boy, I've kept your commandments. And Jesus says, okay, sell all you own and follow me. And the guy sadly walked away because he was very rich. Now again, it wasn't the idea that the guy needed to sell all he owned for salvation. That wasn't the point. The point was, he hadn't kept the commandments. Because he had a God that was greater than the Lord God, and that God was his money. He broke the greatest commandment. He broke the commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, soul, and strength. Our finances are important because they, you know, they get us through the day. But in the end, we need to realize that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God. And we need to make sure that's above all others. Number four, giving is spiritually healthy. Giving is spiritually healthy. I remember one time I was in this group of these people who weren't Christians, and they were kind of mocking people who would give these large amounts of money, or how that the Bible talked about giving and all these things. And I didn't feel moved to say anything at the time, but you know, in my mind I'm thinking, well, who did command people in scriptures to give? Let's see, who was it? Okay, well, we have the Apostle Paul. We talked about last week. This is a guy who went from getting whooped from one town to another. He was received 5 times 40 stripes minus one, during which this time he's commanding people to give. Now, if Paul was in this for selfish means of getting rich, why would it stinking matter at all if while he's getting beat to death and bloodied up, he's still urging these people to give? He wasn't spending it. He had no use for it. He was commanding them to give because he knows that it's spiritually healthy for these people to give. Now, he goes and says, was it the Ephesian church doc, where he thanked them for his...
Philippian
church, sorry. Yeah, the Philippian church. For he thanked them. He's like, hey, you guys, you paid for one of my whole missionary journeys. Thanks. So, you know, giving, you know, in a sense, he was using that money, but what did he use that money to do? Go get whooped up on a bunch? Yeah, that's one thing. Dr. Falwell, man, that guy, he had an amazing, how he spent his finances amazed me. You know, he would, I remember one time he said that, he has a drawer full of Rolex watches at his house because people always give him stuff like that. But he's like, you know what, I don't think a preacher of the gospel should wear a Rolex. And so he's like, I'll just keep it in my drawer. He knew what to use money for. Likewise, you know, even he would get, he's, I remember one time, I forget what it was given. It was like a ski lodge in Aspen or something like that this one time. And the first question that Dr. Falwell asked this guy was, how much is this thing worth? And the guy said, don't worry, I'm giving it to you outright. And Dr. Falwell said, I understand that, but I want to know how much it's worth so I can give a tithe based on that amount. And that's how he had his finances down. Everything that he received, he wanted to make sure that he knew that the Lord got a piece of that too. Not that the Lord needs money. The Lord doesn't need money at all. But it goes back to, it was spiritually healthy for him to give, even when he received gifts. That's the thing, you guys. When we receive gifts, we always need to use them for God's glory. Apostle Paul, when he received a gift from the Philippian church, what does he do? He uses it to pay for his missionary journey. Giving is spiritually healthy. Before we talk about the practical tips, I just want to talk one more time about this idea of unrecognized service. Again, this is tough. It's very tough, but it's important. Like, how do you give to somebody without being recognized about it? You know, I said before, I love buying people coffee. Probably, I don't know, like every couple months or so, or every couple weeks, depending on just what's up. I just, when I go into work at Costco, I just go down to Starbucks and buy a big thing of coffee and some, like, pastries and stuff like that, and I bring it in and set up in the break room. And I'll tell you what, when I bring that in the door, I have my head down because I just feel so embarrassed about walking in front of all these people carrying this stuff, especially they know that I'm bringing it for them. But I hate the fact that they know that, and I usually keep my even if it's like raining, I have my sunglasses on because I don't even want to make eye contact with anybody. I usually got my headphones on too because I don't want anybody really to talk to me. I was like, I just need to give this stuff to these people and then leave immediately so they can enjoy it. And it's pretty funny though because people still weren't getting this idea that I was just giving it. You know, for a while there started this whole rumor going around that I worked at Starbucks and got all this stuff for free. And they're like, wow, so did you work at your second job today? I was like, second job? It's like, well, yeah, I have two other jobs, but both of them are ministry related and I don't really get money from them. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, Starbucks. I was like, I don't work at Starbucks. And they're like, well, why do you bring in coffee for people all the time? I was like, because I love the people here. Is that okay? I want them to be happy. We don't understand giving at all. But in the back of my head, if I could just kind of snap my fingers and coffee and donuts would show up there and like money was taken out of my wallet, that would be great. Because I even hate people thanking me afterwards. Because whenever I bring it, yeah, people come up to me all day, hey, I love it. Well, it's funny because there'll be times where someone will say, I didn't see you bringing the coffee. I know that's you because no one else is going to do it. And that kind of makes me happy that they realize that they realize that I care for them. But at the same time, I just don't like it that they know that it was me. I would just rather not know it altogether. Just because I've come to realize, like we talked about last week, the intrinsic good of an action is just as important as the action itself, and the importance of unrecognized service. You know, a couple weeks ago, see, I don't even want to talk about this, and I'll say this: the only time it's really permissible to talk about giving is for planning And that planning should just be like between like a spouse, and that's about it. Husband and wife, that's really the only people you should really talk about giving with. The only time it's really okay to talk about giving is with a spouse, or with teaching or encouragement. So right now I got this loophole of teaching and encouragement, really. But I don't like it at all. I'd rather still you guys not know about these things. But same thing with Dr. Falwell would do. It was when he talked about tithing, the stuff that he was given, he wasn't bragging, he wasn't proud. He was saying this to encourage people and to teach people to do it likewise. But the other day, I was working out with Mitch, and he's happened to say that his girlfriend T was kind of bummed because she didn't have enough money for her books this semester. And so I was like, okay, hold on real quick. And so I went, picked up the phone, called her. I said, how much money do you need? And she told me, and I was like, okay, Saturday I'll give it to you. Because she comes to our Saturday morning Bible study, and I gave it to her. And so only people that knew about it till now were Mitch and T. And I was totally fine with that. But even them knowing about it, I still wasn't totally comfortable with it. But there's an opportunity. And I'll talk about a little bit later the practical side of stuff like that, but I would have been much happier for that money just kind of disappear out of my wallet and appear in hers, and she's like, sweet. But it doesn't work like that. The unrecognized service, it's tough to do, but it's very important. Now, I like the way that Scripture says it. You know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get into the practical tips. But, honestly, it's kind of funny, though, because this whole idea of unrecognized service can even be a bad thing. Because, you know, we got this giving thing in the back here, and, you know, you could be saying that, you know what, I've never seen Bob over there give. He must be a faithful steward, because he's not... I've never seen him give. That might not be the case. You know, I'll tell you, I do a really good job of giving to people. I don't do as good of a job being faithful at giving to the church and stuff like that. But I was thinking about today, even in writing this, if people know the Scriptures, they could be thinking, I'm a faithful steward giving to this church, when I could be totally unfaithful. But because of the guise of unrecognized service, they would never know it. So don't use this idea of unrecognized service as a crutch. Remember, it's only unrecognized to other people. It's not unrecognized to God. Okay, so let's get into some practical tips. Number one, be unrecognized even to yourself. Be unrecognized even to yourself. And what I mean by that is, you know, I could have been like, well, you know, and this is inner Matt conversation going on. You know, Matt, you're pretty awesome. No one's really stepping up and helping T out with your books, and you wrote in, saved the day. Nobody else would do that. You're pretty cool. No, it needs to be unrecognized even to yourself. You don't do it to pat yourself in the back. You don't do it to think that you're whatever. That's why Jesus said, don't even let one hand know what the other hand is doing. Because the reason why I said that is, you could have people that are just giving these amounts of money, maybe they're not even telling anybody, but they're using it as a source of pride for themselves. But yeah, and like I said, I don't even... When I go and I bring my coffee and stuff at Costco, I don't like other people to do it, and I it's weird. It's like I almost feel bad when I do it, because I don't even want to think about it for myself either. And when people ask me, why do you do this? Why do you do this? I always say, I just want people here to be happy. That's the mindset that we need to have when it comes to giving. We want people to be happy. We want people to be blessed. We want people to meet their needs. That is the mindset we need to have, unrecognized towards others and unrecognized to ourselves. Number two, be creative. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture where us as New Testament believers are commanded to give a tithe or 10%. If you want to go literal, and where people get this tithe in the Old Testament, it's actually much higher than 10%. It's over 20%. But I don't think we're commanded that. Now, that being said, I think a tithe or 10% of your income, I think that's a good example. It's a good place to start. But don't just show up, cut a check, throw it in the envelope, and be okay with it. You know, be creative with it. You know, like one thing, again, I don't wanna take a blessing away from my parents or whatever, but you know, they've said, you know what, I think we should just cut Dr. Fernandez and Kathy check, and this is just for them to go out and have a nice meal. I mean, that was great. It's not just like writing a check, putting in the thing like, you know what, I want Dr. Fernandez to be blessed and encouraged and be able to take Kathy out in the night and to a nice restaurant, to a place that she would really just not usually go to. You know, be creative with your giving. Don't just be mindless mindless givers. You know, the only standard we really see in the New Testament for the amount of giving is Paul says, I command you to be delightful givers. So when you go and it's time for you to tithe or whatever, or give out, don't be like this thing where, okay, God, here you go. Take it. I'm holy. No, it's this idea of, all right, I am giving because this is going to help. This is going to help someone. Someone will be blessed from this. Be creative. Number three, and this is one I think is probably very important, is seize those moments. Seize the moments. Like when I was hanging out with Mitch, I found out about that. I could have been gone home that night and thought, yeah, it'd probably been good for me to try and help T out getting her books. I was like, no. I was like, I just got paid. I got some extra money. Called her immediately. How much do you need? Seize those moments. All right. Now, in conclusion, let me say, you guys, really, giving is very spiritually healthy. I think that's probably, I didn't put a very huge emphasis on that today, but you guys, it is very healthy. It puts you in a position to be transformed by Christ. Because in order to really be spiritually healthy when you give, you need to be calm and quiet and meditative and submissive to God, thinking about the things that you should give. I've said it so many times, but all these spiritual disciplines are meant to be done in coalition with each other. If you're spending time, you know, fasting and praying and meditation and silence and solitude, God's going to put a couple things on your mind where you could serve Him through giving. And when you do that, you will be blessed. It might be a financial blessing, highly unlikely, or at least less likely than just a spiritual blessing. And finally, how does giving edify the body how does edifying edify the body? Again, lots and lots of ways. And it's only through giving that the pastor is able to continue to come back and teach the people. You know, it's so funny. We feel that, you know, the group of people I was talking about before that were criticizing people giving to the churches. And that being said, they had no problem letting their taxes be taken out and pay teachers to teach their children math and geometry and whatnot. And don't get me wrong, I think that's great. I think that we should be paying teachers. I think I don't think we pay them enough. But at the same time, as important as geometry is or world history, those are finite things. And how can we not be paying the people who are teaching us infinite things about our infinite Lord and about eternity? So the church is edified by allowing the pastor to fill them with knowledge. Like what Doc was talking about today. It's not Doc's job to do all the ministries that need to be done. It's his job and my job to prepare the saints to do the work of the ministry. To equip people to do the ministry. So, edifies the body of Christ in that way. For lots of others, encouraging people, meeting people's needs. That edifies it in lots of ways. All right, any questions? Yeah?
Do you think people can take advantage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a tough situation. I mean, I've given to people before in situations, and then once I had done it, I thought, I'm not going to give to this person anymore. Like, I'll encourage them. I will not cease to teach them truth. But if I don't think they handled what I gave them correctly, I wouldn't continue it. And the same thing. This friend of mine, in California, she helped this homeless lady out for a place to stay, and turns out she was like kind of a little deceptive about some stuff. And she's like, well, what should I do? I was like, well, it's a good thing that you gave her a place to stay. I wouldn't do it again. But yeah, I think people can definitely take advantage of it. And that's where being a good steward also plays in. It's very important to be a good steward. Guys, I'm not trying to downplay stewardship, but we happen to talk about giving today. But being a good steward is also knowing what situations to give, how much, and for what reasons. Yes, I'm not.
Oh, no, I was just thinking about what Leanne said. Like, I remember a new Christian who was real, had real childlike faith, real good guy. But, because Jesus said, never say no, just give whenever people need it. And I think Jesus is actually engaging a little hyperbole. And because in this situation, the guy's father, you know, hadn't worked for years. He just kept borrowing thousands of dollars off this guy. He was a hard worker, didn't have a lot of money, but he set aside a lot of money, his funds. And after about five or six times where he had given him, you know, thousands of dollars, the father was coming back for more. And so he asked me what I should do, and I said, well, what is he doing with the money? And it's mostly, you know, booze and that kind of thing. I said, well, then you've reached the point where you're actually financing his sin. And so when Jesus said, don't turn people away, give if they ask you, what he's saying is consider their needs more important than your own. He's not saying kill people with your money. And so I recommended that. If he's convinced that that's what this guy's doing with the money and that it's not really helping him, it's allowing him to not look for work because he was healthy enough to work and stuff like that. But I recommended that he actually cease from giving to him. And that's kind of the other side of the coin. When we do give, and obviously it's not just giving, but God's really going to hold us accountable for what it is that we're giving and who we're giving it to. So that you know, we need to be real prayerful about that, because we might be given to the guy who's already got too much and not given to the guy who doesn't have enough. And sometimes we give it to the loudest person. And what we found in our history here, Cease has to be almost a private investigator to figure out who needs something, because the people who need it the most ask the least. And what I really think is there's a lot of people who love the Lord and are just a little misguided that are given thousands upon thousands of dollars to heretical televangelists. And I pray for those people, because I don't think it's not really going to build God's kingdom. It's going to build the kingdom of these guys. So that's something, too, is that we just need to be careful about, you know, be real prayerful about it. But I like what Matt said when he was talking about if you're practicing the other spiritual disciplines, it's not only going to be, it's going to be natural for you to do the supernatural. So it's going to be natural for you not only to give, but it's going to be natural for you to give in accordance with the Lord's will. And that's a really important thing there. So.
Like I said often, you need discipline in order to partake in the spiritual disciplines. Frank, did you have something?
Well, Doc, second half of what you said, what he's really saying is the question, well, you should keep giving something that's not really deserving, or worse, that's an issue of stewardship. So you have both, you have to measure your giving in terms of stewardship. Doc didn't use the word stewardship, but that's what he was saying.
And I agree. Like I said, I'm really glad I didn't have to talk about stewardship today, because I probably would have just defaulted and asked Doc to speak, because I'm not good at stewardship. I'm good at giving. Like I said, I'll give and overdraw my checking account, but it's not being a very good steward. Anything else?
Yeah, I just want to add to that. You mentioned a homeless person, or a lot of homeless people that have decided to live there. Apart from before the church, I started with this church, part of the ministry of a group of guys who got together to rent a place and figure how can we help these people. And so we drive by, we find these homeless people that sit on the side of the road, the semi that kids that way.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about this too much, but so we drive up, we pull over to the side, say, hey, hop on in, we'll give you a place to stay, we'll give you a place to eat, you can rent with us, you don't have to pay anything, we'll help you get working again. And we always get these excuses. We get, well, I have to be somewhere in an hour. I can't work. I've got a problem with my eye. I've got heart disease. You're able to stay out for 8 hours a day in the heat, cold, or whatever it is. And we got to know some of these guys. Some of them were actually coming, but they didn't want to change, and they're still out there. And we know a few of them by name. But there's some disagreements there, and I think a lot of what you're doing is I just want to label it social gospel, but a lot of us turn in that direction and some disagreements, and that's part of the reason why I left that fellowship. You made a great point with that. How can we best meet the needs? What do they really need instead of just supporting them financially?
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of these guys haven't had fathers.
You know, and I think you bring up a good point. I mean, I think this kind of goes back to, again, like our homeless people. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think there are homeless people in this country that are truly impoverished. But you see people like this that are homeless, and they're not really in poverty, because they're relying on these people really so they can just maintain their lifestyle. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to be asking for money on the side of the road and having enough to get whatever. But for whatever reason, that's a sufficient of a lifestyle for these people. If not being, not meeting the needs of those people, to just give them money. And you know, another thing actually I forgot to talk about is, you know, being creative is one thing we do. Like here, we have like the Compassion International. I mean, I sponsored a kid when I was in undergrad college, a little girl from Ivory Coast, and it was so awesome getting letters from her, so cute. But yeah, doing stuff like that. I mean, I didn't even have a job at the time. I just used the stipend my parents sent me to get by to pay for this, and I was like, so I wouldn't even have a job, and yet I was still able to help out this little girl in the Ivory Coast. So yeah, be creative. And right down the road, we have Children of the Nations. People work there, godly, caring individuals. They can do a lot with a little amount of money. They go on a lot of missions trips. I mean, get involved with that. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And like, you know, Doc said and I said before, is if you're participating in these spiritual disciplines, you're going to be put in a position where you'll be able to creatively give and give to people who really need it. All right, guys. Next week, we're going to be going over prayer.